evening. Thank you. Ruhi, we'll move on to you. Sorry, I know we're taking a massive chunk of time.
I'm not trying not to make it so long, but that was absolutely, I think Yvonne's been over everything as well. I think everybody's journey was a little bit different and every boat had a different journey as well. In the year 2025, I tried to reach Gaza twice, so that was my second attempt. Earlier on in the summer, I joined what was called a land convoy from Cairo, so we tried to walk it to Rafah to Gaza. And what happened, we were stopped at the checkpoint. We were beaten by the Batlagia and the Egyptians. You know, that just shows the complicity of the different states in whatever they can do to stop support for Palestine and Gaza. So after that, this is when the Global Samud Flotilla was formed. And I'd been following the flotilla movement from Yvonne in 2008 to onwards. Watched the video recently as well. Absolutely fascinating. Had been following it. So then I applied to go onto the flotilla. And just so you know, that 28,000 worldwide people applied for the flotilla. So I felt very humbled and honored to be chosen to go. And it just means, you know, those people from all walks of life, all countries, disabilities, walking sticks, elderly to young as well. I think the youngest person was 18 years old. I don't think they would take anybody else, but like, and then I had this dilemma where I had to tell my mum that I wanted to go on the flotilla, because I often, for the last 10 years, I've been ending up in like refugee camps, to war zones, to conflict areas, or to Cairo to send trucks away to Gaza. I decided not to tell her that I wanted to go on a boat. What I told her was that I was going to go to Tunisia to send some aid to Gaza. So I kind of told like half the truth. And then I told my husband, who overheard me speaking to my mum. He's from Yemen, so he absolutely supports what I do, and he's absolutely fine. And then he said to me, well, if your mum agrees, it's fine. I said, well, I told her. Then he said, but you didn't tell her the truth, did you? You didn't tell her the full truth. And I was like, well, did you tell your parents when you left Yemen? And then I was like, okay, then. So he was fine to begin with. Then 8 hours later, he comes and goes, I don't think you should go. But, you know, he went like this. And then eventually I went to Tunisia. We were there for 2 weeks. We had this very intense training. So we had non-violent training, what to do when the Israelis come, if they come, what to do when you're in the sea, drones, legal training for the different types of papers you might get in different languages, what to sign, what not to sign, what you might decide to go on a hunger strike or whatever. So there was quite an intense training. One day we were in Tunisia and we were at the port. We were having boat trials, and then it was coming up to night and you heard a very loud bang, and that was the first of the drone attacks. They attacked a boat in Tunisia. So this Barcelona boats had arrived, and there was Greta and Tiago and everybody got off. So we met all those people there. I was in Tunisia with Sarah Wilkinson. I was there with Fatima, the sister with the double mastectomy from South Africa. Mm-hmm. Tunisia was the hub for, because of visa issues, to be inclusive and to have a lot of this, you know, the global south from Tunisia, that they left from Tunisia because they could get there easily. And I have to say, like, you know, the people from the global south knew that they were going to be at more risk. You know, there was a brother from Nigeria on Omar al-Mukhtar who was there for longer. And honestly, I'm just so inspired by them. So I was supposed to also go on a boat to Gaza, but my boat broke down. I was actually changed boat 2 times. So that's another thing to remember, is that, like, you've got this activist movement where, you know, there was way more boats, but many broke down, didn't make it. So I ended up on an observer legal boat. Whilst, like I was saying, whilst I was in Tunisia, 3 nights in a row, there was drone attacks. And how the Tunisians and all, it didn't deter anybody. Everybody was still strong to go to Gaza, to do whatever we can to deliver the aid, to break the siege, and nobody was turning back. And then we heard the reports of Ben saying that they're going to put us in jail for a very long time. So, you know, we all went knowing there could be strip searches, to sexual assault, to being put in prison for a very long time. We knew that it potentially, if you're a person of color or you're a person that looks very Muslim, you're more likely to be affected than others as well. But everybody from all walks of background was still ready to go. When those drone attacks happened, the boats left quite fast and a lot of people got seasick. A lot of people did end up on drips and things and had to leave the mission as well. It did take longer than expected because of drone attacks and things like that. My boat was one of the last boats to leave Tunisia, and it was a legal observer boat. So my first boat broke down. Actually, it was probably good because it didn't look in a very good state, to be honest. So I ended up on the legal observer boat, and that was a boat where we had a lot of people from the global south, Malaysians, Indonesians, people from Palestine as well. So the goal was that we would follow the rest of the fleet. We would try and support them. We would do legal observations of anything that's happening, any human rights violations. We also had extra supplies on our boat, extra fuel, food, different things. We also had like a ventilator, so we had a doctor on board with the ventilator as well, should we need to support anybody else. And the goal was that if the fleet was to be let through, we would follow them through to Gaza. But if we weren't, they weren't let through and the interception started, then we would come back, because potentially there was two people on our boat who'd been living in Gaza for a long time, for 15 to 20 years. They were married to people from Palestine, and they were already, they'd already been. So also what they were trying to do was criminalize the organizers. They were saying, you know, these people are linked to Hamas and things like this. This is a terrorist movement. So, you know, those people very much could be put inside for a very long time. So when the interception started, we decided to come back. Being on a boat in itself is not so easy. I mean, I kind of, I work on the Greek islands with refugees and around refugee camps. So I was kind of used to being around the sea and boats, but I didn't realize what it was going to be like to be in a boat. I mean, I prepared myself with seasickness tablets, many different types, to patches, to everything. I had to be prepared. I have a bit of OCD when it comes to organizing, so I had everything. And then everybody started taking my pills because they were the best ones. It was Sturgeon and Quells from Superdrug. And I'm very glad to hear that, like, so every boat had its own sort of story. So I'm glad to hear that you had like Libyan food. We didn't have any food on our boat. So we basically didn't have any food. And then because we were last and we wanted to catch up with the fleet, we were going at 10 knots, which is quite fast. So I remember on my first night, I'm trying to be like this cool activist, just trying to be calm. And this boat is moving like a roller coaster. So I'm saying to everybody, is it going to be like this all the time? And they were like, if you lie down, it will be fine. And then I could hear that the captain nearly like crashed into like a rock or something. And then we lost the anchor as well. So there's me trying to be calm, but you know, I'm quite used to it because I do work in sort of like different hostile environments. And we were all there. We just remembered, like, you know, what the people of Palestine and the people of Gaza go through. It is nothing compared to this. And you know, Yvonne's been on many different missions as well, and what the people, what happened inside detention, and remembering that there's still 400 Palestinians in detention, including children as well. So you know, we do whatever we can. So we can't speak about sort of like not having enough food. And I mean, some of the boats didn't even, the toilets weren't working. At one point our toilets weren't working, so we stopped eating even more. So you know, just because you didn't want to, like, you know. So what we did, the last time I saw Yvonne was when we got up to the fleet. And it's just amazing because when we caught up to the fleet, it was like a miracle moment for me, because you saw these 44 boats all around, and I just thought, think of all these people, 450 people from 44 different countries worldwide, from the global north to the global south. And this is what it is that, like, we can all be a part. There was people on the boat, but there was also people helping from home, people helping with logistics, people raising funds, people doing social media. So if you can't go on a boat, not everybody can, because they might have family or jobs, etc., but there is other ways to contribute. There is another flotilla happening. I'm sure most people that went before will be ready to go again. And I, you know, when people ask me, why did you go on the flotilla? Were you not scared? I was scared every day. If I'm honest with you, I was scared every day because it was dark, the boat's moving a lot, and you just don't know when the drones are going to come. I mean, there's one night when we were in the sea, I think there was 9 attacks, including chemicals. They'd thrown chemicals on a boat as well. And the next morning, I did a social media post. If anybody saw it, because I got all these messages saying, what happened to your eyes? So basically, I didn't sleep because I was on a drone watch that night. And then when I saw the video and I got back home, I was like, oh, okay. I should delete it. But everybody was like, no, keep it because it's very real. My eyes look like this, basically. So there is another flotilla happening. It's the collaboration with different organizations, including Global Samud Flotilla, Global March to Gaza, Thousand Madleens, the Libyan delegation as well that Yvonne was a part of. And what I would say is just get behind it, everybody. Donate if you can. We want to put more boats in the sea. You know, they panicked with 44 boats. This was the biggest flotilla ever. One boat did get to 20 miles from Gaza. Inshallah, next time we will break the siege, or we will keep going for as long as we need to whilst there is a genocide happening, whilst people in Palestine and Gaza need us, because there is an occupation and oppression happening. And like, I remember seeing Yvonne, and then when the interceptions started happening, we kind of floated about for a bit, seeing if anybody needed any help. Eventually, we returned back to Cyprus, and at one point, I felt a little bit deflated, you know. I don't know, I'm always hopeful, and I thought maybe one boat would make it. And then, but what really made it, like, okay, was that, like, I read this post and I saw when the people in Gaza were able to fish. Our organization has a team inside of Gaza. We have been trying to deliver aid for 2 years. We have been able to send some trucks. We are able to buy aid inside, so we know what it's like inside. Our teams tell us they can't even go next to the water they are shot at. So when those people could fish that day, because they were too distracted with the boats, I thought to myself, let's send more boats. Hundreds, thousands, we should do whatever we can. So please do whatever you can, even sharing the posts online, supporting anybody that's going, trying to fundraise, trying to donate towards boats, the logistics, captains and crew, whatever we can, we should do. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ruhi. I hope you feel you didn't feel rushed.